I don't think we have any choice but to begin this edition of the Cheryl Reeve Show by talking about Kayla McBride. She plays in Turkey on Sunday, flies all the way to LA to be in the lineup Tuesday night. She scores 15 first quarter points, and then she makes the winning basket. And let's just start there, Cheryl. Was that a drawn up play, or is that just McBride and Shepherd making a play?
Well, you know, as coaches, we always say this. You know, we had an action that we wanted to get to that we thought could be effective, and we were fortunate. We got to it. We got a great passer in Jess Shepherd, and you know, we knew that Kayla McBride would be chased over the screen and would be able to hook around, and you know, that play often works, resulting in layups. And I remember in the timeout, you know, we kind of drew it up, and I said, "Hook around," and said, "Get a layup," and K-Mac looked up at me like, "What?" And I said, "You're going to get a layup." Now the biggest thing was that Kayla, players make the plays, right? So in that moment, Kayla's recognition that she needed to get to the other side of the basket, because Brittany Sykes, I've seen her do this. I've seen her get beat, and I've seen her get back into play and send somebody shot to the fifth row. She's an incredible defender, and Kayla's poise in that moment to get to the other side and calmly, you know, take that reverse and get smacked, you know, across the shoulder and the head, you know, for a 3-point play. I mean, just incredible. Because I tell you what, 3 versus 2 in that situation was pretty helpful with 2 seconds left.
Yeah, and I was, as the play was developing, my first reaction was, oh, great play, and now McBride's going to go in for a layup and get it absolutely swatted, because that's what was going to happen if she didn't go to the other side.
That's
and
exactly right.
Make a difficult reverse layup. And then, of course, she's tough enough to take the foul, and then she makes the free throw. And listen, there are a lot of ways to be a good basketball player. There are a lot of different things you can bring to the game. I thought the coolest thing about seeing McBride just step into the lineup was the way she moves without the ball. Just, you know, she's such a problem for the opposing defense.
She really is. And you know, we were excited to get that element back. You know, we talked about that. We would get the team more whole and kind of, you know, get the parts together that helps everybody get to settle into what they do. Without that, you've got people that are having necessarily, you know, their strong suits. And so I think, you know, for Kayla, especially that first quarter, we got down early, you know, which was not surprising just in terms of it being LA's home opener and, you know, that sort of thing that, you know, sometimes can, you know, can be a challenge. And they went on a big run and, you know, offensively, you know, we were not that good early. But then I thought we got aggressive. And when we got aggressive, when we got into the paint and Kayla spreads it out, you know, if you don't guard her, you know, we could kick it out to her. And she got some really good opportunities and she stepped in and made them and gave us a big boost. Obviously, you know, we were down 8 early, and, you know, by the first quarter we had scored 25 and I think we were up 6.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a blast to watch. And we've talked about her quick release and all those other things before, but she's one of your better players. You're going to be better when you have your best players in the lineup, pretty obvious stuff. I'll try to let Cheryl offer better insights than that here as we go forward. This is part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. You can follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see all of our shows as they are released. Go to the website, see all of our archives and all of our other shows, including our outdoor stuff. If you like basketball, John Krasinski does the John Krasinski Show, the creatively named John Krasinski Show on this network, and check that out as well. And thanks to our sponsors, Livia, Rudy Luther Toyota, Cara Quinn, my realtor, Successful Marketing Group, All Energy Solar, and TSR Injury Law. So you get McBride. And what were the conversations like with Kayla, just as far as logistics, getting there in time? Was there any doubt she was going to play?
The only doubt that we had whether she would play is whether the plane, you know, didn't cooperate, the travel schedule didn't cooperate. You know, once we saw that her plane was in flight, you know, we knew, you know, that she wanted to do that. So we had talked. We'd been in conversation prior to, you know, as her Turkish season was winding down and the kind of the result was imminent. You know, she started making plans, and, you know, you've got to do things when you get here, like within 72 hours of arriving, you got a bunch of physicals and cardio stuff that has to happen. So I think Kayla is going to spend the entire day today, you know, taking care of all those things in addition to recovery work with the team and getting on the court a little bit with the team. So full day for Kayla. But I tell you what, you know, we were in touch along the way, just in terms of some of the, you know, situations with the personnel and just talked her through kind of where we were. And, And you could hear it in her voice. You know, she was just ecstatic to get back and wanted to be there for her teammates. And, you know, that, you know, as Kayla has shared in her interview post game, she's a passionate person and loyal and just down for her teammates and wanted to be with them and wanted to help. She knew, you know, the struggles of the first four games and, you know, she just wanted to help us. You know, and like she said, you know, she felt like, you know, the growth just during the game itself of the team, you know, was something that she was really excited for. And she'll be a captain for us. And, you know, she just, all the intangibles, the toughness, the consistency, she just knows what's supposed to happen. And it's just really helpful to everyone else that she's playing with.
Yeah, she's a blast to watch, too. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. We're speaking on Wednesday afternoon. The Lynx played in L.A. on Tuesday night. They will play in Vegas on Thursday night. And, look, you know, another news development for your team, you signed Jess Shepherd to a long-term contract. I'm not, you know, how quickly did that come about? And was that a reaction to what you saw, you know, first couple of weeks of the season, or was that something that was already in the works?
Well, you know, when you kind of go through your checklist of things as a general manager in the off season, so, you know, as soon as the season ends, you look at it and you go, okay, whose contracts, like rookie scale contracts you have to extend before the start of their last season of the rookie deal. And so the deadline for that was May 15th. And so, you have to exercise options for players. It's different now with rookie scales. The last year of the deal becomes guaranteed. So there's a lot more considerations now, whereas we didn't have before. It was foregone conclusions pretty much everywhere across the board with rookies that you would just pick up the option because there was no harm in doing so. Now it becomes a guarantee. It doesn't count towards the six, but it, you know, to exercise the option, it is guaranteed money on the book. And so you go through your checklist of things, and certainly Nafisa and Jess being from the same draft class, that was on our minds in terms of extensions for both of them. So I think for us and Jess, you know, kind of getting back to camp, I think we talked about this, our momentum overseas. We were very, very hopeful that Jess could really find her footing, and we wanted to capitalize on that momentum. And, you know, with the Dontas injury, you know, Jess just stepped right in. And so, you know, I told her, I said, you know, if she wanted to extend, we were open to it. There was no pressure. You know, Nafisa's situation was a little bit different. You know, they were pretty eager early on. You know, we talked through a deal. In Jess's case, I think it was kind of both sides kind of looking at it and going, you know, okay, this makes sense. You know, let's talk about this. And, you know, I thought that, you know, Jess and her agent, you know, the conversations that we had were, you know, this is a good spot for her. You know, Jess wants to play with Fee. Fee wants to play with Jess. They will complement each other just so well. And, you know, so that's a young player recognizing we wanted to share with her that we value her. So to give her that extension, that's what we're telling her.
And what enabled Jess to make, I mean, we all liked what we saw of her as a rookie before she got hurt, you know, in terms of intelligence and passing and rebounding, all those things. But she seems to have taken a leap here. What prompted the improvement for her?
Well, I think just persevering through the injuries, you know, that really since the ACL in 2019, you know, Jess really hasn't been healthy, including last year. And then also, I think, confidence. And that was the, you know, the big reason why we encouraged Jess to go play overseas, get herself in a good situation. I didn't care really where she played. It ended up being a good place that she played in terms of the role that she played and just gaining confidence in herself offensively as a professional basketball player. You know, the things that we believe that she can do, that she just needs, you know, like the longer you're in it, you know, I think you get to year three, year four, you know, where you're around the league and you just start to mature. And I thought that the overseas season just really gave us an opportunity for her to kind of see what she could do. And you look at what she's doing offensively for us. You know, she's not thinking twice about what she's doing. If she's taking the shot, she's taking the shot. You know, she's not taking the shot kind of going, I don't know if this is going to go in. I don't know if Cheryl wants me to take this. You know, that all that thinking that happens. Now she's just playing. And we're living with everything that she does. And with Jess, you know, it's like a quarterback, you know, like, when she makes passes and takes chances, there's sometimes it's not going to work out. But if you don't let her take chances, then you can't see the greatness of Jess Shepherd. And you know, we put the ball in her hands on that last possession, knowing that Neko Gumake was going to be on her, who's a very active, long defender. And you know, there was just enough of a bump with when K-Mac cleared over the top after she made the pass to Jess, that Neko jumped for a half a second and couldn't get back to Jess in time to get a deflection. And all of that just, you know, sometimes that, you know, just works out. But Jess, we give, I mean, Jess, anybody that's been around this knows that we put that player in so many key roles. And, you know, I'm excited for Jess that, you know, that she's found her footing and you know, has found this to be a good place for her.
So late night in LA, bus to Vegas, I assume. Now you're in Vegas, which is, you know, a lot of great restaurants, a lot of really good junk food too, but a lot of great restaurants. What's it like to be on the road? And I know you're working with Livia now. How do you manage, you know, your diet when you're on these tough stretches?
Yeah, you know, that's a really important thing. I know before I left town, I got with our coach, Coach Connie Dixon, who I said, hey, look, you know, I got to make sure I get all the right food. And, you know, so it's just the planning, the things I've never done before. That's really not that hard to do. I kind of crossed the line from being just interested in taking my care of myself and doing better to being committed. And I can't tell you how great I feel. And, you know, especially at times like these, you know, when it really gets taxing on the road. And I'll tell you what, you know, losing four games and, you know, the old Cheryl, you know, like I fall off the wagon and I'm eating pints of ice cream and, you know, comfort food and emotional eating is what it is. I can emotionally eat both directions, losing and winning. and so the choices that I make and Livia has really helped me focus on those moments of what I need to do when I start to feel like that. And I think more than anything, you know, meal prep is so important. You know, you mentioned the great restaurants. I can eat out. You know, that's a great thing. It's just not like you have to go, I'm not eating. No, I'm eating. It's just the choices that I'm making. And I feel so good about those choices. I'm eating good food. And you know, I've got the balance of my protein throughout the day. You know, these are just little nuances that really are not that hard. And you know, I just give so much credit to our coach, Connie, and who actually I'm going to see here in Vegas. She flew all the way out here to check on me. No, I'm just kidding. She really didn't. but I'm excited to see Connie, and she'll take in a Lynx game.
That's great stuff. So you've had a lot of turnover, upheaval, decisions to make in terms of your point guards, your point guard play. How did you end up settling on Mariah Jefferson? How's she playing for you? And has it been a difficult couple of weeks to kind of get to this point?
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's been challenging. You know, that coupled with, I think, you know, trying to get this team to understand what it takes to be successful. We have players that want to do it. We tell them all the time, there's a fine line between winning and losing. It's a very fine line. And that we had to, you know, gain in our commitment to our physical toughness, our mental toughness, and just, you know, just details. You know, that's the difference. You know, good teams pay attention to detail. And we've always been that team, and we're always going to be that team, and we're going to die trying. So that's been where we've spent our focus. And then, you know, with the personnel changes, it's certainly not ideal. I think I've said that repeatedly, but necessary. And I think in order for this team to get where we're trying to go, you know, the changes were necessary. And with regard to Mariah, Mariah Jefferson's always been a player since her time in San Antonio, that we've said, that's a good player. That's a really good player. You know, the trajectory of her career early on was really high. You know, at that time, you know, a void on the national team, you know, for the next point guard, she was in those conversations, and then an injury, you know, and then another injury. And so she's been kind of just derailed by the injuries. And so I think people always kind of go, you know, can she hold up? And right. And that's valid concerns. And, I can just tell you that I know how hard, Mariah has prepared herself physically. And we have a great deal of confidence in the information that we have and where she is. And we're just hopeful at this point because Mariah, as you can see, is a good player and an exceptional leader. And when we have that, we prove that we can be a good team. And so it's not a coincidence that when Mariah, became a Lynx and started to lead this team, that we played the way we have the last two games. We didn't win the Chicago game. If we make our free throws, we probably win, you know, and that's a team that's picked to win the championship. So it's not a coincidence that, you know, someone at that position that can lead. And, you know, Mariah's second half yesterday in LA, I mean, she was tough. She was really tough. And, you know, she doesn't have a physical, you know, like she's not, you know, big. She doesn't have girth to her, but she's tough and, you know, was willing to put her body on the line. And, you know, so as you know, that position is so important. When you don't have it, you struggle. When you get good leadership and good lead guard play, you have to guard Mariah. You know, there are certain things that just, when you have it, it just lets everyone else settle into what they do. And Mariah brought that instantly. And I tell you what, it feels like she's been here a lot longer than what, a week. Yeah. You know, a lot happens in the WNBA in a week, and she's just settled in. And I told her, I said, there is no waiting around. When we got here, I said, this is your team. They want to hear from you. And it's important that you insert yourself immediately. There is no feeling the shit out, you know, like you are in it. This is your team. Go take it. And you know, she's been really good so far.
This is a very analog observation, but she's one of those players, when she shoots it, I'm just not surprised when it goes in. And frankly, there's some players, even if they shoot a decent percentage, you just don't feel all that confident. She looks like she's going to make her shot.
Yeah, she's got that. The three ball is, you know, like she percentage wise, she's been really good. She had a really good year last year in Dallas from the 3-point line. And that's an element that we need. We really need that, as everybody knows. I mean, it's, you know, and then, you know, you get K-Mac in the mix. So, you know, Westbrook will get going here. You know, she's capable. That's a young player just trying to figure out how to be consistent. You know, I think we're heading the right direction with our perimeter.
Thanks to everyone who listened to the Cheryl Reeve Show and TalkNorth.com. It's all made possible by our sponsors, including Rudy Luther Toyota.
Ready for a women-forward car dealership? Rudy Luther Toyota empowers their many women on staff in sales, management, and service. Whether you are looking for a new Toyota or pre-owned vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota has something for everyone. Every vehicle comes with a Luther Advantage. 10 cents off fuel and car wash discounts at holiday stations, Luther Advantage warranty, and 5-day return policy on pre-owned vehicles. Located just 5 minutes west of downtown Minneapolis, off 394 and General Mills Boulevard. And they're also hiring. Want to join the team but don't know where to start? Visit RudyLutherToyota.com today.
Thanks also to my realtor, Cara Quinn. She's going to have some very interesting news about her business coming up here soon. Right, you can find her at Cara Quinn Realtor. I will just say this. She's the most patient person I've ever worked with in any field. My wife and I have been just scrambled around looking at different options. You know, interest rates keep going up. Housing prices keep going up. We've tried to, you know, find different lot. We've been all over the map on what we want, what we're trying to figure out. I think we're close to a final decision now. And Cara's just been a great ally through all of it. So whether you need a realtor, whether you're selling, whether you're buying, whether you're looking around for a great neighborhood, she can also help with interior decorating. She's great with, you know, understanding of where in the Twin Cities you would want to live for different needs and purposes. But she's just fantastic. Go to CaraQuinnRealtor.com and check her out. I highly recommend her. Thanks also to Lori Ramsey and our friends at Successful Marketing Group, SuccessfulMarketingGroup.com. And thanks to All Energy Solar. We're heading into the summer building and remodeling season. When considering property upgrades for home or business, solar should be under consideration. Here are some facts. Most home improvement projects do not pay for themselves if a property is sold. Solar pays back regardless of property sale. Most systems are warranted for 25 to 30 years. After 30 years of operation, solar could have paid back 300 to 400% of the cost. It is a great deal for you. It might cost you a little more upfront. It will pay off in the long run. It will increase your home's value. It'll be a great boon when you try to resell. It'll save you money while you're living there. AllEnergySolar.com. Check them out. It did feel like, even though you lost that Chicago game, it felt like that was the game where you guys seemed, like, in my outside observation, where you seemed to turn a corner and start playing a little more of the way you wanted to play. Did you feel that?
Yeah, there was no question. You know, those are the games that we say, you know, if you're not successful, you can kind of live with it and go, you know what, we played hard. You know, we did a lot of things we wanted to get done. You know, not making free throws and losing a game, okay, that really hurts, you know, but you know, it happens sometimes. And you know, frankly, our percentage is through the first four games, including from the foul line. I mean, we're last. We're last in free throw percentage. We're last in effective field goal percentage. You know, like a last in effective field goal percentage in terms of our opponents. So, you know, the ball will go in the hole. You know, you can't panic about those things. You've got to go, hey, what kind of shots are we getting? Are we doing the right things? Okay, then just if you're not making your shots, get in the gym and shoot. That's all you can do. There'll be a correction. And, you know, we made our free throws last night. That was big. And, yeah, I mean, just it's those things you just got to kind of hang in there.
You're in Vegas, or you're in the same town as Becky Hammon and Bill Laimbeer, two people you've spoken very highly of before. Do you get a chance to catch up with them at all, or is it all business?
Not at all. I have no interest in speaking with them at this point. no, it actually, you know, kidding aside, the Aces are going to be having Bill Laimbeer night.
Tomorrow. Wow.
Yeah. So we're excited about that. My understanding is there's a few people that have come into town to celebrate Bill Laimbeer night. So he deserves this moment. And he has done so much for this league. I didn't love the exit. I thought that that they should have done better in terms of recognizing what Bill did to get the franchise where it is today and hand it off to Becky. And Bill sought out a successor. So he was very happy. But I just didn't think that he got what he deserved. And so hopefully tomorrow night, you know, he'll get some of that. But he's the one that brought this franchise to where it is. You know, he's the one that got it on such stable ground. And, you know, and Becky's got the, you know, the good fortune to kind of pick up where he left off and put her own stamp on it. And she's doing a great job.
When your team commits turnovers, how do you address that? And or is that at this with this team at this point, is that just a function of people just getting used to playing with each other?
Yeah. You know, it is pretty brutal. The third quarter, you know, like your field goal percentage defense is going to take a hit when they're taking uncontested layups in transition.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's not ideal. I can only tell you that we're, you know, the players don't want to turn it over. We're trying to avoid putting them in situations where we think might lead to a turnover. And, they knew that, hey, this is LA team. They lead the league in points off turnovers. You know, that's what they did last year. That's what they're doing this year. It's their home opener. They're going to be amped. And frankly, I think the benefit of the whistle, you know, like we got fouled, right? We're getting fouled and they're not called. And I told our players, I said, I can't fight for you in these situations because the calls go to the aggressor. When we get aggressive, then we're going to, and we started making plays. Third quarter, we came out like we did in the first quarter, not aggressive, you know, not back cutting, not putting the ball on the floor with a purpose. And thankfully we cleaned that up. And, but man, yeah, the turnovers are tough, you know, but it was only we were fortunate because we got 18 off of theirs as well. Mm-hmm. And that's also statistically what has been shown for LA as well, that you can do both. And so luckily it wasn't as great of a differential as it could have been, you know, that we were able to get some stuff as well off of their turnovers.
What was the atmosphere like in LA?
In the arena?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, they must be so thrilled when we got off the bus and we're back in, you know, what's it called? Cryptocurrency or whatever. I don't know, yeah, whatever the arena is called.
Yeah.
You know, crypto something.
Fake money arena.
Yeah. Fake money arena. You know, that didn't include the Sparks when their, you know, their announcement, but to be back in a real arena, you know, the Sparks have been through a lot. Like, so we go the bubble season and then we come next year and they're not in the arena and they're at a convention center, basically doing the bubble thing again. Yeah, that's not great for our league. You know, so as much as I don't really care for the Sparks, I was happy for the league, that we could actually get into a professional arena, which is what our WNBA teams deserve. And, you know, the environment, I know that they were, you know, the players had to be excited, you know, to be treated like pros and then their fan base. I know that they're working to build their fan base back up and, you know, winning will certainly help that. But, you know, I'm just glad that we're back in there. And so I was excited to be back in there. And, you know, many, many battles and, you know, I got Lindsey Whalen hit me and, you know, we had some exchanges and reminiscing, you know, and I talked to Brunson. I said, BB, remember this, you know, same way when it was with you guys, you know, these big runs and it gets loud in here and they foul and they don't call it. And we got to hang in there. And, you know, it was reminiscent of some of the old Lynx teams in terms of what we did last night.
I was, you know, watching your game so far this season, there have been times where I've gone, okay, who hurts more? When you lose a game, the players or this coaching staff that just isn't used to losing.
Yeah, it's not been pretty. Yeah, it's a competitive group, but I tell you what, they're so good for me. And I'm telling them what I need from them, with regard to, kind of being honest with me, and they're really good at that. And so that's the only way that you can problem solve. It's the way I've always leaned on, Rebecca and in terms of her leadership and Planette, and obviously Katie in my time with Detroit, that I could just lean on them so heavily. And, no, they don't like losing. No. But I tell you what, they've been great teachers. They've showed, great restraint and patience, in terms of, trying to keep the group moving, in the right direction. And so I'm super proud of them, and we still have a lot of work to do.
Thanks again to Olivia. Thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota, Cara Quinn, my realtor, Successful Marketing Group, All Energy Solar, and TSR Injury Law. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. Let's go now to a final thought from Cheryl on anything in the world you'd like to talk about.
What's going on in the world besides another mass shooting, right?
Oh, my God.
Multiple mass shootings. And, I was thinking about this morning, not only, climate change issues that we want to ignore. I'm thinking about 20 years from now, 30 years from now, we're not here. And what our generation and what our, we're going to be defined by, that nobody wanted to step up, and protect people from AR-15s. I saw a post on social media of all the shootings, 10, 12, 15 of them all had AR-15s as the weapon. And it's just nonsensical. It's nonsensical. And the people that are anti, limiting the idea of, that somebody can't have an AR-15 and go somewhere and blow everybody up and just walk in and do that. And that you think that, that gun control somehow is impacting your rights and right for people to live and not be subjected to these things, and then like I said, climate change. I mean, that's just an embarrassment. And what we're leaving are, and the people that we're going to be without, whether it's kids in schools. I've had to come to a realization as a parent that it's not if, it's when we're going to be faced with something like this. That's so disgusting to me. And that we're a part of, that we've, like what we're going to be defined by 20, 30 years from now is just an embarrassment.
And what's amazing about it, Cheryl, is if you look at, the best polling on so many issues, climate change, gun control, logical gun restrictions, women's reproductive rights. You go down the list, and the majority of Americans want all these things. They want to fight climate change. They want women to have reproductive rights. They want common sense gun control laws. And we're being ruled by the minority.
Yeah. Well, if that's true, then we, I think if that's true, especially as it comes to women's rights, reproductive rights, then people will vote that way. And I'm not sure that that's happening. People will vote that way. And I'm talking about women, and white women in particular, that are such a big part of, determining, the outcomes of these things. It makes no sense that we vote against ourselves. Like it just has baffled me for years. We can certainly, I've always said this, you certainly can figure out whether, the taxes, whether we tax enough, not enough, where we put, money, argue about that all we want and be on different sides on that. But I just do not understand any party, that would, that the idea that, there are so many situations that we want to control a woman's body, but we don't want to control, a person's ability to go get an AR-15 and walk in somewhere. And it makes no sense to me. They're going to step up and, they want less government, right? They want less government until they want to control a woman's body. And it's just, and we still don't have an equal rights amendment. It's just disgusting to me when it comes to, this country in terms of how we vote, understanding the impact of our vote. And if it's true that the majority, if that's true, then the majority will win. And we can, the minority, in terms of who we're putting in the Senate, right? Because we know, because we always say we don't have enough votes. No, we don't. West Virginia, shame on you. West Virginia, shame on you. You know, this cannot happen. And, you know, I suspect that the Republicans feel the same about a couple of their members, you know, whether it's, you know, Liz Cheney or Romney. But, you know, these political, the way that they're controlling the world and what's happening. And like you said, it's the minority. You know, we've got to figure it out and fast. And, you know, whether it's the Supreme Court, hey, Supreme Court, you know, you don't want protesting on sidewalks, right? You know, like, look how fast you're going to move to, you know, to protect yourselves. It's just incredible. It's absolutely incredible to me. And we've got to change that. And our vote can change that. And white women have a huge role in changing this.
Well, I could go on for hours about this, but I'm going to give the listener a break and not go on for hours about this, but we will revisit this. I have other thoughts, but again, we'll you know, hey, this is a great basketball show. It was a great final conversational point that's very important to our country. We'll revisit it, but I won't belabor the issue anymore this time. But for today, thanks so much for taking time today, Cheryl. Best of luck in Vegas, and we'll see you when you get back.